1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Ignorance is no excuse," part 4. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be accurate, not only in my teaching, but Lord, also in my explaining, and that, Lord, we'd have open hearts and minds to hear and understand. Holy Spirit, make this real, make it personable, make it understandable to us, Lord, that we might apply it to our lives in a way that not only benefits ourselves, but those around us and builds the kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I sometimes, there's some of these verses, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I just know that in any crowd that you would speak to in a church, there's going to be a large number of people that could care less about tongues. It's just too weird. Don't understand it. No matter how much you teach on it, I won't understand it. Just would rather it not be there, you know, just not deal with it. But when I read things like this, but it's not just tongues, spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant. I just want to read these statements over and over and over and over and hope, will it sink in? Does it sink into you when God says, speaking through Paul, you can't be ignorant about these things, okay? Meaning that we don't understand. So I went through last week, and I think I would love to have the most credentialed biblical scholar you can find. I'd love to debate him on this topic, because I'm sorry, I'm right, and I can prove it, okay? That the gifts of the Spirit are still active, and one of those gifts is tongues, no matter how much they want to, you know, not want to admit it. So, you know, you find me any cessationist, I'd love to have a debate, because we established it. Peter sets a time frame for when the gifts of the Spirit are going to operate, and we're still in that time frame. The day of Pentecost until Jesus' return, it's right there in black and white. And we're still in that time frame that these were God-fearing Jews. They spoke Hebrew. They did not need to have this gift of tongues that day in order to understand one another, because they all had the common language of Hebrew. Not only that, they were all a part of the Roman Empire. Do you know what almost everybody in the Roman Empire spoke? Greek. That's why the Bible, the New Testament, is in Greek. Even though the scholars who wrote it were, guess what? They were Jews, and their primary language was Hebrew, but they wrote in Greek because everybody understood Greek. So they had that language in common, most of them. The New Testament itself is written with three different languages, primarily, yes, Greek, but it also has some Aramaic and some Chaldean. So they had multiple languages. And it was the Middle East at that time was very much like Europe was, and I don't know that Europe is so much this way anymore, but when I was growing up, Europe was very much, you know, that the countries are all small and they're all close. You might live in one country but cross a border to work in another country. But many, many people in Europe speak multiple languages. And that's the way that the Middle East was. So there's no reason to use the explanation that's given for why the day of Pentecost occurred the way that it did. It goes on. And again, these are some of these verses I've read before, but I'm going to read them again because I just want, you know, if I could grab your lapels and shake you and say, do you hear what this is saying? 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I would like everyone to speak in tongues. Do you know who everyone is? Do you know who makes up everyone? After a deep theological, hermeneutical, exegetical, philosophical study, I've determined that the word everyone means everyone. You are a part of everyone. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I might get struck by lightning here for saying this because I'm probably being really unbiblical. Paul says he wishes everyone spoke in tongues. I really don't care whether you do or not. Okay? I would love you to be knowledgeable because I don't want you to be ignorant, as God says, but it doesn't really make any difference to me whether you speak in tongues or not. It's not for my benefit. It's for your benefit. Unless you have with it interpretation, which we'll talk about today too. There are different ways that the gift of tongues are used, different manifestations, if you will. Now, if you have a message in tongues and then someone interprets that, then I can benefit from that because I'll get it. But I will say this, even when I hear people speak in tongues, even if before an interpretation is given, I have a sense of, I may not know word for word the interpretation, but I know what they're talking about. The spirit inside of me tells me what they're talking about. And then when somebody interprets, I go, oh yeah, I agree. That's probably word for word what they were saying, but it's certain, we're on the same subject. We're on the same topic here. I know what they were. So I can benefit from that. But as far as just speaking in tongues, I really don't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me that much. I'm not like Paul. But he says, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. In the Pentecostal church, the gift of tongues has been like super elevated, and it's just not, because we're told right here prophecy is greater according to Paul, although I believe that tongues is a prophetic gift because it's speaking something to us we otherwise don't know. But again, I know people who speak in tongues who can't live for Jesus from one Sunday to the next. So, and then he goes on, brother, have you speak in prophesy is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be edified or built up. So there is a purpose to the gift of tongues when there is interpretation with it. Now, like I said, once again, in worship that's down here today, I, during worship, prayed in tongues for a little while. Nobody knew that, right? I don't know. Did you hear me? Did you notice? Okay. So nobody knew. Even the person sitting next to me didn't know, because it wasn't a tongue that was meant to be interpreted. It wasn't for the entire congregation. It was for my own ability to express my worship to God beyond what my human capacity can do. So God's Spirit worshiped through me, if you will. And so, but when we interpret, when the whole, then everybody can know what's being said. That's a different purpose for the gift of tongues. I don't want this to go on. Okay. Now that I understand it and have done it, I can pretty much do it at my own will. There's times where I'm going to pray in tongues and I'll just be like, it's just not there. The Holy Spirit's not doing that. And I don't. But yeah, I mean, it's with under my control. In fact, that's one thing we'll look at today. The spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet. So, you know, is what the Bible says. So again, I'm going to talk about that towards the end. The Holy Spirit, and maybe I'll jump ahead. The Holy Spirit does not possess you. You are not possessed to where you just stand there and he starts moving your mouth and making noises, okay? That's not how it works. You're not a puppet where he sticks his hand in, you know, and he goes, wah, 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 wah. No, okay? You have to have the faith to give, to do what the Holy Spirit's prompting you so I'll talk about that a little bit more. So, go on in 1 Corinthians 14, 39 and 40. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues, but everything should be done fitting and an orderly way. So it should be fitting, it should be orderly, and we're going to look at that a little bit later on too. So when he says, don't forbid it, why would you have a cessationist theology that says it no longer is practice when the Bible specifically says, don't forbid it? Now, I got one for you. If you ever run into somebody who has, how many of you, I know this is a joke when I ask this, how many of you sit around and have biblical discussions about this with your friends? I know nobody's hand goes up, right? But if you ever did, and they have a cessationist view that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer active in the church, ask them this question, like say the gift of tongues. Artificial intelligence. We've talked about artificial intelligence, you know, a fair amount. Artificial intelligence is becoming pretty darn developed. It's got a ways to go, but there's a lot of things now it can do, okay? So ChatGPT, Grok, Gemini, these are all different artificial intelligence programs. Now you gotta be careful about artificial intelligence though. Because what was her name that did the she referenced ChatGPT gave her a name of somebody that a pardon. You know what I'm talking about? No. I think it was Anna Navarro. She's a news, anyways, on The View, or as some of us call it, The Coven, said that people were making a big deal about Biden pardoning Hunter. And so she was saying, oh, a lot of presidents have pardoned family members. Woodrow Wilson pardoned his son, Hunter DeButts. And everybody online mocked her because Hunter DeButts, I mean, what is this? Seymour Butts, you know? I mean, you know, you've heard all those jokes, right, with the names. He's not a real person. And so she responded, well, that's what ChatGPT told me. So here's a newswoman supposedly reporting the news using ChatGPT. That's artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is and will become even better at organizing, administrating, okay, things. It's already probably better at organizing and administrating than human beings are. And it's going to be way infinitely better when the more sophisticated it gets. So ask the person who has a cessationist theology, if you believe the gift of tongues ceased because it was no longer needed, so now that we have artificial intelligence, because there's a gift of administration, does that mean the gift of administration is going to cease? I promise you they will not say yes. Do you get my point? It wouldn't be needed any longer. And if they might argue, well, you got to have people with the gift of administration so they can program artificial intelligence to do good administration. Well, that's not how artificial intelligence works. You don't program it for a purpose. You program it to learn. And then it learns to do whatever it is better. So it's not going to, it's not, it just doesn't, it doesn't make any sense. So today, because I tried to show how I believe it's still active, how the Bible would support that it's active. But today I want to go on. I want to talk about some of the uses of it, what it's like, how it manifests, you know, with interpretation, without interpretation. I got a bunch of scripture I'm going to skip over for time's sake, but I covered it last week. I had it down as review, but I won't spend a lot of time. Basically, what we covered last week, we see that the gift of tongues is for our edification. It builds us up. And it says in Romans 8, when we don't know what we should pray, the Spirit will pray through us, and it's praying according to God's will. You know what? Here's the thing. Do you understand how important it is to pray according to God's will? If it's God's will, do you think He's going to answer your prayer? If you pray God's will, He's going to answer His prayer because that's what He wants to do anyways, amen? But the problem is a lot of times we don't know what God's will is, right? But you know who does? His Spirit. So if Holy Spirit's praying through us and prays according to His will, then we stand a really good chance of having our prayer answered. And we're told in Romans 8, 26 and 27 that the Spirit prays. He intercedes on our behalf with groans and that words cannot express. And He prays according to God's will. So it prays according to God's will. Well, we don't know how to pray. It builds us up. It also, we are told, it builds other people up. We should pray for everybody in the Spirit, Paul tells us, because people around us, they all have needs. We may not know what they are, but if I pray for them in the Spirit knows what those needs are. We're told that tongues are a sign. So they're showing God at work, you know, a sign, right? I like to think of those flashing neon signs, and this one is saying, God at work, God at work, God at work. You know, it's a sign. So these are the things. But today, I'm going to spend some time getting into, I guess, manifestations. What John or 1 Corinthians 12 and especially 14, chapter 14, just loaded with information about tongues that we didn't get into last week. And like I said, I hadn't planned on this, just but I felt like I couldn't ignore it after what I taught on last week. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 verses 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12 7 through 11 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are at work of the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. So first of all, verse 7 tells us not just tongues, but all the gifts of the Spirit are given for what purpose? What's it say? For the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us for so that everybody in the body of Christ can benefit. Now, I don't hear anybody, well, there are some, but most people, nobody here has a problem if God wants to heal you, right? If you have if you're sick or you have some kind of problem, an injury or a disease, if God wants to heal you, that's okay with you, right? What if God wants to just speak through you in tongues? That's okay, right? Not as much. Some of you, yes, but not as much. I always think it's funny how we're fine with one that really benefits me that I can understand, but something I can't understand, you know. I'm glad God understands it, whether I understand it or not. So it's for our common good. Tongues and all these gifts are given for the common good. If there's good that comes from it, why would God cease to have us do it? If verse 10 goes on, he adds interpretation. So we have the gift of tongues, but then he also adds interpretation. They can work together, but not always. You don't always have, and you don't always see tongues coupled with interpretation. It can operate in both cases. So he adds interpretation in verse 10. Interpretation was, we see the first manifestation of tongues on the day of Pentecost. There was no interpretation. Why? Because God did the miracle of hearing, and they heard what was being said in their own language. They did not need it interpreted. I have a really curious question, though, as much as I feel like I can stand up here and say definitively about tongues on the day of Pentecost, that I went through all that last week, I'm not sure I can answer this question. I think I have an answer, but if everybody understood the person speaking in their own language, how do they know they weren't just speaking in their own language? Unless there were other people on the periphery who were not a part of this and heard it all going on, and they're the ones who could not distinguish the languages. I've never been clear on that. Right. But what's described on Pentecost is that whatever nationality they were, even though they heard it in that language. But if that's the case, how did they know they were speaking in tongues? So you guys all get back to me on that next week, okay? But I do know this. That wasn't necessarily on the day of Pentecost because they understood. So we didn't see interpretation at that point. But the bottom line is, it's not up to us. Who determines the giftings that we have and where they're placed in the body? What's it say? All these are the work of the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. So he's not going to force himself on you, but the Holy Spirit determines the gifts that he gives us. Now, I believe if you've ever done a spiritual gifts inventory, if you've never done one and you'd like to take one, I can give you one. We are created with purpose. And so there are certain spiritual gifts that will kind of be my primary giftings. But I have access to the Holy Spirit, therefore he could use me in any gift. But usually you'll have 2, 3, 4 gifts that are like your strongest giftings. And so that he determines the giftings that he gives us based on how he wants to use us. So let's go on. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. It is, if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But if in fact God arranges the body, the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I apologize for reading, but I think it's important to read the scriptures we're going to talk about. All of us make up what? Does it just get done telling us? Everybody, every part together, we're all body parts, right? And we make up the body. I'm not the body, I'm just one body part. And it takes all of us to make up the body parts. And amongst these, we just got done reading about the gifts. So not only is it the person that makes up the body part, it's so much equally so the giftings that those people have. What makes up the body of Christ is that we're here to carry out his plan and purpose. Man, I don't know what to do here, folks. I have so much to teach. And this is, I may just end on this. This is such an important thing. Don't count on it, but. We all make up the body of Christ, right? But how can we be the body of Christ if we're not using the godly gifts that he gives us? If you are, don't be offended by this. It's just an example that came to my mind. I'll blame the Holy Spirit on giving me the idea. If you are a Christian and you are understanding that you're a part of the body, but you're not operating in the spiritual gifts that he wants to give you, then you're just a skin tag. You have no purpose. You don't do anything. Because the gifts of God are given to do what? To build up the body of Christ, to carry out ministry. And they're healing and miracles and prophecy and administration and hospitality and tongues and interpretation and... So they're an eye, they're an ear, they're a hand, they're a colon for some of us. You're a body part. If you are not operating in the gifts that make up the body, then you're not really a functioning body part. And if you say, well, I'm okay with all the other gifts, but not tongues, well then, okay, which body part are you willing to just chop off? I don't want to chop off any body parts, amen? Not even my little finger. So you're taking a gift that is there, that's a part of the body, and saying, well, we don't need that, we're just going to toss it away. I don't think the body works that way. I'm saying all of this, and I'm agreeing with you, and I know at the same time there's not one person here probably any more motivated to get the gift of tongues. Am I wrong? Going on, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church of God has appointed, first of all, prophets, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having the gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration. See, I told you administration is a gift. And those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. So I read all that to say again, gift of tongues are listed. And we see it time and time and time again. If the tongues were going to cease, why would Paul write so much to us about the gift of tongues and equate it with all the other gifts? So it's obviously there. But here's the thing. It is not the greatest gift. He tells us, I'm about ready to tell you about the greater gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. I got news for you. One of the best ways to receive the gifts of the Spirit is to eagerly desire the greater gifts. Because when you really desire the greatest gift that God has for us, you know what he'll do? He'll give you the other gifts so that you can carry out the greatest gift. So what is the greater gifts? Do you all know? Do you all know what comes next? 1 Corinthians 13, I'll start in chapter 12, 31. And now I will show you the most excellent way. He just got done saying, desire the greater gifts. And then he says, I'm going to show you what that is. The most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So what's the greater gift? Love. You're telling me that love is greater than the ability to move a mountain? That's what God says. Now, I'm not good at this. I'm just going to be honest with you. Don't use me as your example. Use Jesus as your example, okay? But it's the ability that you really love and genuinely care that God will use to empower you with the gift, because he knows that when you use it in a truly loving manner, he can trust you with it. The word, maybe I'll mark a stopping place, I don't know, somewhere here. The word spirit is the word pneuma. Do you know what words you get from the word pneuma? Yeah, pneumatic. Pneumatic tools. Pneumatic tools give us power to accomplish things with these tools that we can't accomplish in and of our own strength. So they're very helpful to do things that we otherwise wouldn't be able to do. But they also can be dangerous, pneumatics, if you don't respect them and know what you're doing with them. So they have the ability to accomplish great things that you would not be able to accomplish otherwise, but they also can do great harm if you don't know what you're doing with them. That's exactly the Holy Spirit. That's why it needs to be governed in the most excellent way. It must be motivated by true godly love. Am I in trouble, or do you want to say something? Yeah, I think so. I think so. If you feel like you should, you're sitting here crying, you maybe should share.
Let's see how I do here. When Randy said, you know, no, even though teaching and explaining all this, that we'd all be sitting here saying that, no, I don't want that gift. So I just want to share from some of my experience of a time when we were at Toronto. Some of you may have heard of the Vineyard and the Toronto Blessing, and we were there a long time ago, 94, I think it was, May.
No,
95, the first time.
And then a couple years later.
And we would also experience times with some of the churches in our area where we lived in Napomo. And I remember being at a service, and a lot of times what the Holy Spirit would do to me when we were praying and just having a time of a prayer, and I would just have this laughter. I mean, and it came from the Holy Spirit. I would just start laughing, right? I mean, it would be, and it was, I remember one time at a service telling the Lord, okay, Lord, I want what you have for me, but not that. So during this time of worship, I got nothing. I mean, nothing. I couldn't feel the Spirit. And I had to really repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want what you want me to have. Whatever it is you have for me, that is what I want. And so, you know, I want us all to realize that, you know, the Lord wants what is good for you. It's called a gift. And it's to bless you and to bless others. And we might look at it and think, but not that. I don't want that. But we need to want what the Lord wants for us. And so and another situation was a friend of ours, a lady at our church, and the Lord had given her a gift of prophecy to where she could like see things. I mean, she knew what things and could and have like visions. And she told the Lord, she said, "Lord, I don't know. No, I don't want that." And it stopped. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what the Lord, how he wanted to use her in that, in a ministry that way. I mean, she was not a kook. I mean, she was not, I mean, she loved the Lord with all her heart and it was real. The vision she would see, but it scared her. And so she said, no. And like Randy said, the Holy Spirit is, he's not going to force something on you, but you might be missing out on a really good thing if you tell the Lord, no, not that. I don't want that. Let the Lord come and just bless you how he wants to bless you. So that's...
But what's interesting is that you use the word, she wasn't a kook.
No. But we're afraid of being seen as a kook.
It's because she thought she would be seen as a kook that she didn't want a gift that God would give her.
Yeah.
Now, but when you repented, what happened to you?
Oh, I started laughing.
Yeah, you started laughing. She started laughing at some really inappropriate times.
But it would be like the joy of the Lord, you know?
It was real. But along with it, everything else came.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing, too, about me earlier on, like when I would first like speak in tongues. And I would just, it was always like one or two words, like one or two syllables, you know, speaking in tongues. And one time I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, how come, you know, I hear some people when they're praying in tongues and they sound eloquent. Why do I just sound like a babbling a couple words? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, when you praise me in English, you do that too. And I thought, whoa, you know, I mean, so, yeah.
It's amazing when you ask God questions, he'll give you answers, you know? So thank you. I actually think it was really, I was sharing with somebody after last week about what she was talking about when we used to made several trips to this big move of God that was taking place in Toronto. We went back a couple years later. But a number of pastors in our area had also gone to Toronto. So we started meeting together every other week. We would have what we called renewal services at each other's churches. And we'd just move around from church to church every couple weeks. And man, it was powerful. And people would come up and they'd want prayer. And I said, it was amazing back then. Shame on, this is my fault, but we would be moving in the Spirit. People would come up that you never knew before. You've never met them. And they'd just say, can you pray for me? You go, okay. And you start praying for them. And you knew that what you were praying is what they needed prayer for. And they would be blown away. I don't know. Are you hanging outside of my bedroom window? How do you know these things about me? Well, it's called Holy Spirit. And the thing was when you're really moving in the Holy Spirit, you had no doubt, right? Because you were there with me. We were doing this together. You knew that this is what God was showing you for this person. I never had anybody go, man, you totally missed it. That's not at all what I needed prayer for. And things like that. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I can't tell you how to practice it other than, I need to stop here, obviously. I know it's Christmas time and you're all wanting me to preach a Christmas sermon. I promise you I will preach a Christmas sermon on the 22nd, okay? I promise you, all right? It's going to be how the shepherd spoke in tongues on Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's not just that God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Ignorance is no excuse. You can't say to God, I didn't know, amen? Amen.